The next poem is called Poem with Refrains. The refrains come from what are probably my favorite works of art in the whole world, which are certain 16th century poems. You know, if it isn't certain jazz choruses, it's poems by Campion, Fulk Revel, Ben Jonson, George Gascoigne, people like that. And I guess it's obvious what the first poems had to do with our theme of the body, the shirt and the saxophone, and certainly the poem about a failed resurrection. The story I tell here, I've not, for most of my life, been a very autobiographical author. Lately, in my old age, I've been writing about my own life for the first time. The story I tell is painful to me. Compared to things people write about, it's not that bad. But for me, the material is painful. And the refrains, though I hope they comment on the story I tell, the refrains are like nosegays. You know what the word nosegay means? The pest house stinks. The house of sickness, the pest house, smells terrible. And you take a handful of flowers there, you go to inhale through, to go through it. And in a way, these are the sweetest, they're like candy for my ear. They're the sweetest things I know. And they are, in a sense, giving me courage to go through the story. They're like a kind of a symbol of beauty to me. And in that sense, saying them, it is physical. As people have heard me say and write, poetry for me is a bodily art. I believe the medium of poetry is the human body, and not even an expert's body, not my body, not the writer's body, it's the audience's body. And for me to say these words of these poems is to give myself a kind of bodily courage, like a drink or a drug almost. Poem with Refrains. The opening scene. The yellow, coal-fed fog uncurling over the tainted city river. A young girl rowing and her anxious father scavenging for corpses. Funeral meets. The clever, abandoned orphan. The great athletic killer sulking in his tent. As though all stories began with someone dying. When her mother died, my mother refused to attend the funeral. In fact, she sulked in her tent all through the year of the old lady's dying. I don't know why. She said because she loved her mother so much, she couldn't bear to see the way the doctors or her father or someone was letting her mother die. Follow your saint. Follow with accents sweet. Haste you, sad notes, fall at her flying feet. She fogs things up. She scavenges the taint. Possibly that's the reason I write these poems. But they did speak on the phone, wept and argued so fiercely one or the other often cut off a sentence by hanging up in rage. Like lovers, but all that year she never saw her face. They lived on the same block, four doors apart. Absence my presence is, strangeness my grace. With them that walk against me is my son. Synagogue is a word I never heard. We called it shul, the Yiddish word for school. Elms, terracotta, the ocean a few blocks east. Lay institution. She taught me we didn't think God lived in it. The rabbi, just a preacher, just a teacher. But what about the hereditary priests, descendants of the Kohanes of the temple, like Walter Holtz? I called him Uncle Walter when I was small, a big man with a face just like a boxer dog or a cartoon sergeant. She told me whenever he helped the pretty woman try on a shoe in his store, he'd touch her calf and ask her, "How does that feel?" I was too little to get the point, but pretended to understand. Desire, be steady. Hope is your delight, an orb wherein no creature can be sorry. She didn't go to my bar mitzvah either. I can't say why. She was there and then she wasn't. I looked around before I mounted the steps to chant that babble and the speech the rabbi wrote, and there she wasn't, and there was Uncle Walter, the Kohen, frowning with his doggy face. She's missing her own son's musaf. Maybe she just doesn't like rituals. Afterwards, she had a reason I don't remember. I wasn't upset. The truth is, I had decided to be the clever orphan some time before. By now, it's all a myth. What is a myth? But something that seems to happen always for the first time, over and over again. And 10 years later, she missed my brothers, too. I'm sorry. I think it was something about a hat. Hot sun, cool fire, tempered with sweet air, black shade, fair nurse, shadow my white hair. Shine, sun, burn, fire, breathe, air, and ease me. She sees the minister of the Nation of Islam on television, though she's half blind in one eye. His bow tie is lime, his jacket crocodile green. Vigorously, he denounces the Jews who traded in slaves, the Jews who run the newspapers and the banks. I see what this guy is mad about now, she says. It must have been some Jew that sold him the suit. And the same wind sang, and the same wave whitened, and or ever the garden's last petals were shed in the lips that had whispered, the eyes that had lightened. But when they unveiled her mother's memorial stone, gathered at the graveside 1 year after the death, according to custom, when we were standing around about to begin the prayers, her car appeared. It was a black car. The ground was deep in snow. My mother got out and walked toward us, across the field of gravestones capped with snow, her coat black as the car. And they waited to start the prayers until she arrived. I think she enjoyed the drama. I can't remember if she prayed or not, but that may be the way I'll remember her best. Dark figure, awaited, attended, aware, apart. The present time upon time passage striketh. With Phoebus's wandering course, the earth is graced. The air still moves, and by its moving cleareth. The fire up ascends, and planets feedeth. The water passeth on, and all lets weareth. The earth stands still, yet change of changes breedeth.